This morning our scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. If you want to look in your New Testament, you can find it on page 75. This is part of a longer series of teachings where Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. And this particular reading is one where Jesus promises freedom from fear and gives us a guidelines that will help us to lead a more fruitful life. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A reading from the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.
Thank you, Ted, for your reading there. Yeah, thank you. When Pastor Joe invited me to preach while he was in Japan, I quickly accepted the honor. But then I had to find something I wanted to preach on. And I concluded, let's consider fear this morning. After all, our lives do seem to be involved with fear more than maybe we're used to. A few days after making that decision, political writer Bob Woodward released his book, Fear, Trump in the White House. The book's title comes from a statement Trump gave to Woodward in 2016 when Trump was running for president. The now president said, real power is, I don't even want to use the word, real power is fear. And the book describes the way Trump can control masses of people by making them afraid. I assure you, I'm not going to preach a sermon on controlling people. But I will note that fear plays an important role in the Bible. In fact, the first human emotion presented in the Bible is fear. We find it in Genesis chapter 3. God had created Adam from dust and made him human by breathing breath into him. Then God created Eve from one of Adam's ribs. God then placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the only utopia man has ever known. This utopia had all that Adam and Eve would need, but it came with a rule. The rule was they were not to use one particular tree for food. However, there was a crafty snake in the garden who convinced Eve that nothing would happen if she ate of the fruit of the tree. To the contrary, she would become like God, knowing good and evil. Well, the tree was beautiful, and Eve did eat of some of its fruit, and even gave some to Adam. Bam! Everything changed. They heard the sound of God looking for them, and they hid. But God called and asked them, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Afraid. Afraid of God, whose rule he had disobeyed. Apparently, the knowledge of good and evil brings with it a conscience. We know that we are to pursue good and avoid evil. Good is living in God's rule, and evil is ignoring it. For Adam, fear was not power. Fear was guilt. The third chapter of Genesis is only the first of many references to fear in the Bible. One student has identified 366 verses that use the word fear, or fear not, or do not be afraid. 366. That's more verses than use the word love. And maybe my sermon today should be to simply read all 366 verses. And maybe we would get the idea that God does not want us to be afraid. But fear not, I'm not going to do that. In our lives today, fear sometimes begins as worry. Perhaps worry about things in general. What is the world coming to? That worry may turn into anxiety. Anxiety can be a set of responses to an unknown or ill-defined threat that nevertheless causes us to be upset, to be concerned. And anxiety can lead to fear, a set of responses to a known, precise, defined threat, a threat that can be real or possibly imagined, but felt as fear. Adam felt fear. He knew that he had offended God. Now, the difference between anxiety and fear is not quite as precise as I may have suggested. In many cases, the words can be used interchangeably. But I think we all have those feelings. They can be so disabling as to keep us from doing things that have to be done. We live stressful lives today, and anxiety can be considered a byproduct of how we experience human freedom in today's life. But today's scripture suggests that fear need not be our necessary response to life. Jesus' imperative in verse 32, "Do not be afraid," seems absurd. How can we not be afraid? Jesus quickly explains how. The rest of verse 32 can be read as, "It is our Father's good pleasure to have given us his kingdom." Or, since I've never lived in a kingdom, I prefer to read it as, God has invited us to live in God's realm. In verse 33, Jesus continues to tell us how to live without fear. Sell your possessions. Really? Does Jesus want us to live our lives on government welfare? But the very suggestion of selling our possessions does shock us into considering how big a role our possessions play in our lives, especially in comparison to how big a role God plays. And the verse goes on to infer the question, does the value of our possessions restrict us from giving to the poor? After all, God's ultimate treasures are not possessions, but compassion and mercy. And mercy for those in need. Also in verse 33, Jesus gives the unusual advice to us to make purses that do not wear out. Not wear out? That suggests Jesus is not talking about real purses. And he's not. Rather, Jesus is asking each of us to create a different wealth than that found in purses. Spiritual wealth, if you will. A treasure of faith. And Jesus makes the point, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Putting our possessions, our income, our treasure into God's reality offers relief from worldly fear. That may seem simplistic. It may seem impossible in a world dominated by materialism, by greed, by me first. I recently noted a poll by Gallup that asked different people what they were most afraid of. And the number one answer was snakes. Snakes? But that answer took me to thinking about what that meant, and it brought me back to the Garden of Eden. After all, what was the animal that convinced Eve she could become like God? Snakes. Could it be that the fear of snakes has a theological basis? But ever since Adam and Eve gained the power to know good and evil, we have never again lived in paradise. But now, in this harsher life, with its real fears of failure, of death, of rejection, of ridicule, of loneliness, with its imaginary fears, as we saw last this past week, fears of demons, of ghosts, of witches, and with its politically motivated fears of invasions or immigrants or the other, you and I can thank God daily for sending us Jesus to explain that we must live in a world of fear. We can simultaneously devote our lives to the realm of God, a realm of hope, love, and peace. Amen.